So I am Grace Lloyd Miner. I work with Dr. Bill Bowerly at CSU. He is an ecophysiologist, and also with Dr. Jay Hamm, who is a micrometeorologist. So I appreciated the Arduino-based control shown earlier. I'm going to talk to you about some of Bill and I's efforts to characterize some key parameters necessary for modeling photosynthesis and transpiration for two field crops under well-watered and water-stressed conditions. So one of the end goals of my PhD project is to be able to project seasonal estimates of crop transpiration under water stress, not using something like the Pemmican Monteith with crop coefficients, but using these physiologically based models. But first we need to explore how the key parameters necessary for these models changed for these crops. Could we assume kind of baseline model parameters? Do we need to vary them as a function of leaf water potential or soil moisture potential? And really, do these parameters interact also under water stress? I also want to look at how some key physiological variables such as VC max scale with things like chlorophyll or leaf nitrogen, which are often used by the remote sensing community to try to back out photosynthesis, you know, from remote sensing signatures. So we wanted to compare those two factors for these two crops. So the key parameters in the model of photosynthesis and stomatal conductance, which have been shown to essentially really influence our assimilation rates and our transpiration estimates, are this VC max parameter. Some of you probably collected that. You collect this via ACI curves. It represents our maximum rate of carboxylation. And also in the ball bearing model of stomatal conductance, which is what I'm showing here, there's lots of variations on this model, but I'm just showing the ball bearing model here. The slope parameter and the intercept parameter are highly influential on transpiration, sometimes up to 30 to 40% differences in our transpiration estimates at the canopy level, depending on what values we use for these. So it's really necessary for us to characterize these well. If you haven't collected the slope parameter before, I just want to show you how we derive it. In Ball's 1988 dissertation, he essentially collected VPD, temperature, humidity, ACI curves, light response curves, tons of different data sets, and was able to collapse all of that data out to one line when he plotted conductance versus this ball index. The slope of that line is what's used in the Spalberry model. It is species specific, so you have variation between species in this slope. It represents water use efficiency. Essentially, it's inversely related to water use efficiency and carbon isotope discrimination. Traditionally, it's been very time intensive to collect, sometimes up to 2 hours per leaf, but we're actually in the process of comparing. There's four or five different methods people can use to drive this, either bottom up or top down, so we're comparing some of those methods as well. But it is important for us to represent these parameters well in these models to hone in on our estimates of transpiration. So in general, there's quite a bit of controversy in the modeling community. I'm next to NCAR in Boulder and work with some of the modelers there. There's quite a bit of controversy over how we should scale these parameters. VC max is traditionally now scaled seasonally, but some people don't scale that back under water stress. Some modelers do. Some people just scale back the slope of that ball bearing slope under water stress. Some models do both, and now there's quite a few models which will also incorporate mesophyll conductance. Some of you have probably seen that being incorporated as well. So we just wanted to investigate these parameters further for the two field crops. These model parameters are used in some of those larger regional and global climate models, and we think it's really important to have crops be well represented in these models. So we did some work in the greenhouse and some in the field. In the greenhouse, we had two treatments per crop. We had five measurement periods over the season. We were trying to capture our late vegetative and reproductive stages. They were staggered about 2 weeks apart, each measurement period. And we measured nitrogen, chlorophyll, and SPAD, also canopy characteristics, which we need for our models in terms of canopy width and height and things you need for more energy balance type models. We had ACI and AQ curves that were collected at each measurement period, and our light response curves were up to 2 hours per leaf because that's how we were deriving our ball bearing slope and intercept. Don't have time to go into that, but very time intensive, so not a lot of repetition. Typically, we would get only 5 to 8 reps per treatment per measurement period for that slope. We measured leaf water potential and also had a really nice setup with continuously logging scales and also some volumetric water content sensors in our medium, which is calibrated to that medium. So we have kind of continuous measurements of our soil water content. And also working with micrometeorologists, you get access to lots of their fancy, this is a 2D sonic anemometer, which I don't think very many people set those up in a greenhouse, but we had that. I just wanted to show visually how difficult it is to get full measurements on these crops in a greenhouse. We had lots of scaffolding. It was almost like working on a tree canopy. We did follow-up measurements at the USDA Water Management Unit's plots in Greeley. They have a lot of nice work on irrigation and deficit irrigation down there, so we wanted to do follow-up measurements to make sure that these parameter values weren't artificial at all. And I'm thankful we did that because they've been very useful and have correlated well with our greenhouse measurements. So some of the results, moving to the results for sunflower, I'm just going to keep track of my own time here. Moving into the results for, now this is maize first, for our slope and our intercept for this crop, we did see a strong seasonal response between measurement period 2 and 5 for our maize. So water use efficiency essentially increasing towards the end of the season, which was interesting. I have never seen anyone report a variation seasonally for a field crop, so this was a good finding for us, suggesting that we do need to tailor off this parameter towards the end of the season. But for most of the season, you could probably use a pretty steady value and still hit your transpiration decently. We also saw a strong treatment effect. Again, for a C4 species, this is not often reported, so it was really nice to have enough power and enough repetition to be able to detect this. So this also suggests that if you're doing modeling, you do need to scale back this parameter. And when you plotted all the data visually in a linear regression, you do see the separation of treatments, but also there was a difference in the intercept, but from a modeling standpoint, this has essentially no impacts on our transpiration. That's a very low residual stomatal conductance. No correlation at all between leaf water potential and the bulbary slope. Not surprising for an isohydric species, but also useful for modelers to kind of see this data themselves. And no correlation between the intercept and leaf water potential. These measurements contrasted a bit with the behavior of sunflower, which I'll move into now. We did see a significant period effect again for our sunflower. But if you've ever worked with sunflower, it's a very noisy and very not a well-behaved plant. Under well water conditions, the conductances are just unreal and kind of all over the place. So it was very hard to get good measurements. And there's a lot of scatter in our data as well. So we did, though, see a significant treatment effect when I pulled all the data from measurement periods 2 through 4. Does my mouse work? Here it does. So you did see a significant treatment effect when I pulled my data, but if I was going kind of period by period, I wasn't able to detect a significant treatment effect. The interesting thing for us, though, which this correlates with some results from Lisa Donovan and some other groups, is that the intercept for sunflower really does change seasonally strongly and changes under water stress. So that's that residual or cuticular conductance, whatever you kind of want to name that. So this is important for us to note that maybe we don't even change our slope very much, but that is the intercept which needs to be adjusted in these models. There was no relationship between leaf water potential and that slope parameter, but there was a significant relationship between that G-naught or that cuticular conductance and our leaf water potential. I would say residual conductance rather than cuticular. So this is not a lot of data, but it does suggest that we have some way to scale back that G-naught parameter, and also saw a nice relationship between G-naught and our maximum conductance at 1,000 par over the season. So we do have some relationships we could use to scale this back. Moving into our second objective, these results are still really preliminary, and I really am soliciting advice from people who do more leaf nitrogen and kind of EC max work, because I'm a little bit confounded by our results. But what I've done here is plot total chlorophyll, SPAD, and leaf nitrogen for the two crops with the same axis, so you can kind of see the differences in the trends between the two crops. And for the maize, we saw a really nice predicted, seasonal increase in our chlorophyll, a separation by treatment, similar trends for our SPAD readings. For sunflower, these were on fertigation in the greenhouse under 200 ppm of nitrogen. However, these readings were very similar to our field readings, so I don't think they were just saturated. We saw very little spread in our chlorophyll data and very little spread in our SPAD readings. So the story continues. For our maize, we saw nice relationships, almost linear, between leaf mass per area, AMAX, nitrogen, nice linear trends over the season, which we could clearly incorporate into some of these models to, you know, remotely sense or remotely model our photosynthesis. The trends for sunflower were not nearly as clear. And given the previous slide, it's not surprising that we were not able to detect any significant correlation between SPAD and chlorophyll for sunflower. And there was a decent relationship for our maize, but not as high as others have reported. When I moved into leaf nitrogen versus total chlorophyll, again, no significant relationship for our sunflower, and a significant but kind of poor correlation for our maize. So can we predict VC max or AMAX from that signature for these two field crops? When you plot AMAX versus leaf nitrogen on an area basis for these two crops, not surprisingly, there's not a significant correlation because both of these crops show strong changes in specific leaf area over the season. So others have said when you plot your leaf nitrogen on a mass basis versus AMAX on an area basis, it kind of encompasses those changes in the leaf tissue. So when I did that, you do see a strong correlation for our maize between leaf nitrogen and AMAX. Again, no significance for our sunflower. And when I created a model to predict, I should just show you right here. If you're trying to say, can we predict AMAX on area basis using nitrogen and specific leaf area for maize, I get a really nice correlation, which this is good. I mean, compared to what people report in the literature, this is a good relationship for maize. Again, encouraging from people trying to remotely sense and remotely model transpiration and photosynthesis. And my last slide here, it's a little busy, but for those of you really interested in this VC max parameter, I saw essentially no correlation on an area basis using nitrogen as a predictor. If I use nitrogen and specific leaf area on an area basis, still a pretty weak correlation. And in this model, nitrogen was actually not significant at all. So this is where I'm soliciting feedback after this talk. And essentially, specific leaf area did just as good a job of predicting VC max on an area basis. So I'm a little stymied on this and would encourage any of you who have ideas to come talk to me about that. So in conclusion, we did find variation in that slope and the intercept for maize and sunflower. The strong variation of that intercept for sunflower was encouraging. Good findings for us, maybe more difficult from a modeling standpoint. So the intercept might be quite important for modeling transpiration and photosynthesis under seasonally and underwater stress for sunflower. And the lack of spread of seasonal values for SPAD and chlorophyll in sunflower prevented any sort of robust relationship existing there. And it's unclear to me why nitrogen does not appear to be mediating changes in VC max, which I think is important for the remote sensing community to kind of hone in on what crops can we really sense these things in, and what crops are we unable to use this type of technology for. And I am grateful to NSF for my funding and for the USDA Water Management Unit. It's been immensely supportive. So with that, if there's time, take any questions or thoughts. Yeah.
Are you accounting for nitrogen, inorganic nitrogen in the leaf?
Say that one more time.
Inorganic nitrogen in the leaf that might be affecting that relationship between nitrogen and chlorophyll.
The inorganic as opposed to, so I mean that was just mass spec nitrogen.
Yeah.
No, I mean, versus total. I haven't, no, I only have total from the mass spec, so that's, I could mull on that too. Yes. I'm not someone who's focused a lot on cuticular conductance. I didn't show you data. We did do a rapid dry down, so as opposed to a seasonal, you know, integrated water stress. We did a rapid dry down, and they clearly have the ability to shut rapidly. You were saying, why are they still staying residually open? When I did a four-day rapid and we induced water stress, I was able to go from a conductance nighttime, measured at 4 a.m. in the morning, of like 0.3, 0.4 moles to down to like essentially nothing. So I know they have the capability. My only thought was looking at some of John's Boyer's work, at least early in the season, you see that seasonal shift in it. My hypothesis, which might be completely invalid, is talking with people about essentially to have cell expansion, you still have to have some sort of like driving gradient for water, and so that perhaps with sunflower, this is never published, but perhaps they're trying to maintain a trigger gradient to continue leaf continue cell expansion at night. But I have no idea morphologically why they would be staying at such high rates of conductance.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think we need to move on to the next presentation.
Thanks. Thank you.